This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Crocodiles. We all know what a crocodile is, and most people probably, if they saw a crocodile, you wouldn't want to get too close to it. But did you know that some crocodiles are actually threatened in the wild? To speak to us about the most threatened crocodile in the wild, joining me from Zoos Victoria is Chris Banks. Thank you very much for your time today, Chris.
Good morning, Adam. It's a pleasure.
Now, could you tell me a little bit about the Philippine crocodile?
Sure. It's a relatively smallish species. They reach about, 8 feet total length. They are primarily freshwater species, although some of them are occurring also in brackish water. And it's a species that's only found in the Philippines, nowhere else in the world.
Now, crocodiles are, you know, most people like... We hear stories sometimes in northern Australia, people are getting taken by crocodiles or attacked by crocodiles. Is that a problem with the Philippine crocodile, or is it too small?
No, it's a very inoffensive animal, and there's lots of areas in the Philippines where people live quite happily with these this smaller species, this Philippine crocodile. They'll go down there to wash their water buffaloes or clean their clothes, all sorts of things. So, it's a very inoffensive animal.
So would they be quite timid? So if you walk past one, would it run off, or would it pretty much just watch you walk by?
It would mostly have disappeared long before you got close to it. Yeah, they got very good hearing. They'd sense you coming and take off. And if you did happen to come across one, it would just dive straight into the water as soon as it saw you there.
I understand. Now, I believe that they are the most threatened crocodile in the wild. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. The general feeling is that there's probably no more than about 500 specimens left total in the wild.
Wow.
So, highly endangered, yes.
Now, you're responsible for setting up a recovery program in the Philippines. Is that right?
I'm part of a national recovery team, which is set up by the Philippine government. And my role on that is as international coordinator. So, I facilitate support for the program across zoos in Australia, the United States and Europe. And I've also written the recovery plan for the whole program, which is about really just trying to draw all the various aspects together and make sure they happen on the ground.
So what does the program actually do?
It's the most important thing is to secure the species in the wild. So that's about protecting habitat and supporting the recovery of the crocodile populations in those areas where we know it still occurs. It's also trying to engage with local communities and get their support and involvement. It's coordinating the global captive population, as I mentioned, in zoos outside the Philippines. Plus, there's a large number of specimens actually in captivity in the Philippines in zoos there. So, and it's also about raising community awareness, generating funds to support the in-situ programs, working with governments, particularly in the Philippines, and particularly local governments, because they're quite key to the success of the program.
So habitat destruction is a problem. I believe that different fishing methods that they use in the Philippines aren't too helpful for the crocodile either?
Yes. A number of countries around the world, in particularly the tropical regions, dynamite fishing and is a problem. Also, putting nets across rivers, crocodiles get caught in those. That's what's helping to keep some of these small isolated populations at low levels, because the problem really started back in the 1950s when crocodiles were hunted for their skins all around the world, so that really knocked the population down. And then there was a period of probably 2 or 3 decades of just incremental habitat loss as forests were cleared and swamps were drained and all those sort of issues. So that really fragmented the population, and now they're small populations isolated from each other. And so if you lose a breeding female from one of those small populations, that has an impact. So so things like netting and dynamite fishing are important in some of these remote areas.
I've got an inkling of what it is, but what exactly is dynamite fishing?
It's pretty basic. It's lighting a stick of dynamite and throwing it in the river.
And basically kills everything around it, whether it be fish that you
That's
want
right.
or...
So it's aimed at killing fish for food, but of course anything else that happens to be in the area gets affected as well.
Why do they use that? Is it a cheap way to fish or an easy way to fish?
No, it's just cheap and easy. Yes, that's right.
Now, you said there's about... We predict about 500 still left in the wild. How many are in captivity?
In the Philippines, there's just over 1,000. In Australia, there's only four. Europe has, I think it's about 12 in one zoo at the moment, but more zoos will become involved. And in the United States, there's around 30, I think.
Okay, and is the breeding programs, is the idea to eventually get them back into the wild?
Yes. Yes, it is. Within the Philippines, there's two things. One is to release animals back into the wild, into areas where the species used to occur. But the other one is also to take the threatening pressures off the remnant populations that are there. And so that's the focus of two projects, one in the northeast of the country that we support and one in the large island in the south in central Mindanao. So because... With a lot of species, it's far easier and much more cost-effective if you can allow the remnant populations to recover rather than actually putting animals back from captivity.
Okay. And Melbourne, there are some in Melbourne, is that correct?
Yes, we have a pair at Melbourne Zoo.
Do they breed well in captivity?
They do. We haven't bred them yet because ours are still young. They're mature now, but that will be the aim in the future, yes, to try to breed them.
Okay. Well, Chris, thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat to us today about the Philippine crocodile.
That's okay. I guess the last message I'd leave you with is that despite all the problems, there are some really, really positive things happening in the Philippines. So, and that's makes me very heartened about the long-term future for the species over there.
It's good to know when, you know, animal conservation around the world is always an issue and it seems to be a bit of an uphill battle.
Mm.
It's good to know when we're making some positive leeway with one species of animals,
isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the case with this one.
Yep. Yeah. Do you find it frustrating sometimes? Sometimes it tends to be that uphill battle a lot of the time?
Yes, it can get quite frustrating, but it's a matter of having a long-term view and being fairly pragmatic about these things. You're not going to get everything that you want straight away, but you're focused on the long-term goals and sort of progress towards those, and that's what's happening with this species.
That's great. Well, Chris, thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
There you go. That is Chris Banks. He's the coordinator of conservation and partnerships for Zoos Victoria, talking about the Philippine crocodile. If you'd like to find out more about all the things that the great Melbourne Zoo and Zoos Victoria do, just go to zoo.org.au. You can find out more, and of course you can find out more about that as well, and the Philippine crocodile at my blog. Just go to joy.org.au. Click on the blog section. You'll find All Natural there. Easy as that.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.